We want to turn this morning in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we want to begin our reading with verse 20. Verse 20. And so I trust you've been praying for the services today. And I always look forward to fellowshipping together and spending time in fellowship and song, fellowship together, and now fellowship in the Bible. John chapter 12, verse 20 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was a Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. This morning I want us to think on this thought taken from verse 21. We would see Jesus. There were those Greeks that came seeking him. And Philip came and told him, and Andrew. Jesus knows our heart. Jesus knows the reason that we come, that we go. Jesus knows everything about us. And as I've said many times and will continue to say, there's no stone left unturned when it comes to Jesus knowing us. But there was a question, a desire, a statement that says, Sir, we would see Jesus. So we've titled our message, We Would See Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for those that are viewing. We pray for those that aren't able to be here for various reasons, sicknesses and pains and problems and so on. We pray for them. Lord, we pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, that they'll come to know Jesus and cause them to realize that hope is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those that are believers, but yet maybe not as close to you as they one time were or even desire to be. But help us to see you this morning. Help us for you to be the center of our attention. And have your will and way, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Seeing that one that changed our life will be amazing. Seeing the one that was willing to change our life would be amazing. Seeing the one that believed we were worth it will be amazing. People stand for hours to see someone famous, to get an autograph, to get a picture, to get a close-up just to see that person. There'll be times that lines will be extremely long. Many times you have to get a ticket or you have to get an armband or you'll have to get something just to have the opportunity to see someone that is famous. But once it's over, you might have that picture, you might have that autograph, and maybe one day it'll be worth something. You may have that moment, but in that moment, as far as that person is concerned, that person will not know you any better. You'll know them. I remember the first time Marshall went to an event. We had taken him to what was the monster trucks when he was little at the Coliseum. And at the end, it was they had a chance for the kids to get autographs by these drivers that had the monster trucks. And he was so excited, and he had one of the plushes that would look like a monster truck, and he was so excited. And when he finally got this person's autograph, the driver's autograph, he got the autograph and the gentleman smiled. But then it was noted that, oh, I forgot to get a picture. And so he stepped back in line, and we actually have the picture. And if the individual knew how he looked, he didn't look very happy. And so we still have that picture, and it kind of reminds me of, oh, you've had your turn, now it's time for somebody else. Well, this morning, I'm glad that Jesus isn't that way. I'm glad that Jesus wants us. I'm glad that He wants Himself in our lives. And there's a verse that comes to my mind that speaks to all of us, and we, everyone, if I was going to ask you to quote it, you could quote it with me. But that's none other than John 3:16-17, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." You see, Jesus desires that relationship. Jesus desires. This world, or that world that they're talking about and that the Bible talks about, "For God so loved the world," is none other than you and me and every other person that has been and that will be walking this earth. You see, that's how great that love is. Jesus loved the world. And He doesn't separate in talls and shorts and gray hair or blonde hair or any other hair or without hair. The point is, He loves all. No matter whether you can speak English or not, He still loves you. And He knows every single person. That amazes me. He knows every single person. We may not know what Jesus looks like. We may not know His height. We might not know His weight. We might not know any other characteristic as far as what He looked like when He walked, but yet He knows us. He knows us. Most importantly, He knows our heart. Most importantly, He knows our heart. But I believe that through the Bible, we can get a glimpse this morning of Jesus. If we allow the Bible to speak to our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, then I believe that we can get a glimpse of Jesus. Just like those Greeks that came looking and they said the words, we would see Jesus. I hope that's our desire this morning, is to see Jesus. To see Jesus. Because our prayer this morning is that the Lord would open up our eyes simply to get a glimpse of Jesus. We know that our hearts already rejoice from the music, and I hope it is our desire this morning to follow Jesus. And we understand that people need the Lord. We understand that. And we know that. And we're witnesses of that. But I trust that something that is said from the Word of God that will help us draw just a little closer to Him. That's our desire, is that we, just like the gentleman that, the men that raised their hand last night saying that they want to be closer to the Lord. I hope that's our desire too, is to be closer to the Lord. So the first point I want us to say, as we consider seeing Jesus, we would see Jesus. We see Him as the caring one. He cares. You'll never have anyone that cares for you like Jesus. Matthew chapter 9. I'll read a couple of verses of scripture with you. Beginning in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says, but when he saw, meaning Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, Jesus saw a lot. As he looked, and as we consider him this morning, the Bible tells us that he went about cities and he went about villages and he went about places and he walked and he taught and he preached and he healed. But the Bible also says that when he looked out and he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And I believe as he was moved with compassion, that's a very special compassion. I don't even know if we can truly relate to the compassion that he saw and that he felt for that group of people, for those that was looking at, because he was seeing them and he was seeing their needs. He was seeing their desires. He was seeing their hurts. He was seeing everything about them, and he was moved with compassion, and he saw their need to the point of saying that the harvest is plenteous. He saw that the great need of that multitude, and even told his followers that the laborers were few. So he saw their condition. When I look out at you, or if the singers that are looking out at you and the choirs is looking out, we don't know what your desires are. We don't know what your needs are. You don't know what your hurts are. And we might know a little bit about you, and you might have told us some things. But the point is, Jesus, when he looks out, he sees. He sees. There's nothing that's left unturned. We might put on a happy face, or we might put on a smile, and as soon as we get out of the company of a person, then we fall back down. Because we're hurting. Because there's something that's troubling us. Well, Jesus sees us to the point of he's one that cares for us. And he's one that cares for the needs that we have. And as we look at him this morning, we must look at him as someone who cares like no one else. He was moved with compassion. Why? Because He knew the heart of every person. He saw the people He loved. He saw the people in need. He saw the people that were scattered, as the Bible tells us. He saw people with no shepherd. He saw people that needed help. Sometimes we're guilty, or when we look out, we see more of what somebody's doing wrong rather than the fact that they're without a shepherd. We can pinpoint, well, this person's doing this, or this person shouldn't have done that, and sometimes might even be guilty of calling them out. But have we ever thought, if we looked at them through Jesus' eyes, if we would have more compassion? You see, Jesus had compassion. And as we looked at them, He saw them that they were fainting. He saw them that they were scattered. He saw them that they had no one to turn to. They were sheep without a shepherd. And we should see the same way as we see Jesus. As we see Jesus, we should see the care, because He cared for us. Think about our own lives. And although we, you know, as we were looking at the gentleman last night, and as Jim came as saying, and as he gave his testimony, we were looking out, and we don't know those individuals, but we know there was probably some bad decisions that was made in their life. But do you realize that we are guilty of the same thing? Bad decisions that we've made in our life that caused hurt, or that caused pain, or that caused discomfort. You see, when we see Jesus, we see someone who cares. We see someone who cares. You see, friendships today can be like, what can you do for me? Friendships today we'll have this friendship as long as everything's perfect. There was a situation that I was a part of recently, and I had known this person for well over 20 years. And this person had come up to someone that we worked with, and this person needed something, and that person was in the person that they had seen, the other person was having a bad day. So they wasn't quite as friendly as maybe they should have been. And that person that I've known for 20 years, I watched her, and she's a professing Christian, and I watched her. And I watched her all of a sudden turn just like that. And she hasn't spoke to that other person since. And I'm thinking to myself, we're going to have bad days. And we're going to have situations that maybe make us feel uncomfortable. But friendships and love goes well beyond that. And just think of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. We want Him to forgive us, and we want to be close to Him, and we want to have that desire to be close to Him as we look to see Jesus. And as we look to see that care and that compassion, we should look with those same eyes to others. Because there's going to be times that we do get disappointed. But that should not change the relationship. You see, friendships, as I mentioned before, friendships today can become like, what can you do for me? And as long as you continue to do that, then we'll be okay. But I'm so thankful that Jesus isn't like that. I'm so thankful that the times that I've strayed away from Him or not been as close to Him, He didn't say, well, you didn't do anything for me today, so be gone. But that's not like Him. As He saw that group of compassion, and as we see Jesus, He saw someone that of a sheep without a shepherd. He saw someone that was fainting. He saw people that were scattered. He saw people that He loved. And let me say this. He chose to care. He chose to care. He chose to love. And He chose to have compassion. And for that this morning, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. He loves you this morning. And He cares for you. And there's nothing that we can do this morning to make Him love us any more than He does right now. But what we can do is we can love Him more daily. And we love Him by the actions. We love Him as we see Him. We see someone with compassion, but we also live as we're seeing Him. Because I know one day when we get in the presence of Jesus, I believe we're going to drop to our knees and we're going to say, thank you. Thank you. So we see Him as one with compassion. We also see Him as the submissive one. The submissive one. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6, the Bible says, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. We see this submissive one as we see Jesus. Jesus was submissive to God's will. Jesus came with a purpose. Jesus came with a plan. Jesus came for you and for me, and He was submissive. He knew what He would go through. The physical pain. He knew that He would physically be beaten. He knew the crown of thorns would go across His head. He knew the spikes of nails would go in His hands and His feet. He knew the ones that would beat Him to the point of unrecognizing. He knew the ones that would verbally abuse Him, saying, if thou be Christ, tell us who hit you. Tell us who smitten you. He knew the shame that He would endure being stripped from His robes. He knew all those things. He knew that God would turn His back. He knew, and He was still willing. That's being submissive. Submissive to what God had in store and God's plan. But He also knew why. And the Bible said in Isaiah that I just read to you just a few moments ago that He hid not His face. He hid not His face. He didn't cower down. He didn't cower down. There were times when I was growing up that I made some mistakes and I knew I would get in trouble. And my mother used to tell me, go pick out a switch. And I knew that if I picked out a little one, I would have to go back. But I knew if I picked out one that was perfect, that I'd be in a lot of pain. So I was having to decide, what do I do? What do I do? And I was trying to find the common ground. But when my dad, and I still hear it today, when he would correct his children, he didn't use a switch. But he would take that belt and you would hear it popping out of the belt loops. One of the scariest sounds that a child will hear if you understand it. Pop, 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 pop. And I cowered down. And I would look at him trying to give that look saying, you really don't want to do this. But I don't know a time that he didn't do it when I gave him that look. But you see, we cower down when we have pain. But Jesus loved us so much that he didn't cower down. But he accepted what we deserved. That's compassion. That's being submissive. He knew the only hope that we had was that He die for our sins. He saw the people that needed a shepherd. That submission was out of love. Out of love. That we might have life because it was God's plan. You see, the salvation that we cherish, that we have, was a plan made from heaven. But He had to be submissive. So we see the submissive one. We also see the saving one. The saving one. Luke chapter 2, familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 2 verses 10 and 11 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When we see Jesus, we see our Savior. We see our Savior. Jesus is the only one that can save, and Jesus is the only one that can change a life. You were given testimonies this morning of two men last night, and the one that our brother told us about. But the important thing is the fact that they came to know Jesus Christ and that they were saved, because He's the saving one. He's the one we should be submissive to His direction. But we can't save. All we can do is get the word out. It's the Holy Spirit that saves. You see, we just get the word out. You see, there's some that is seeking happiness. There's some that is seeking relief. There's some that is seeking hope. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl needs Jesus in their life in a personal way. Everybody. The trouble is that folks just don't understand the need. They just don't understand. And as the song was sung, at the end of broken dreams, unfortunately in many cases, that's when people start looking up. When they've tried everything else, and when they've been crushed in their life, then they start looking up. You know, you can go to the jails and you can hand out Bibles. But yet in public and in schools, Bibles are nowhere to be found in many cases. People don't understand. So when Jesus looked out and He had compassion, He understood. He saw them fainting. He saw them scattered. He saw the sheep without a shepherd. And He even told the disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few." He even knew that. The laborers were few. But when we see Jesus, we see the one that was submissive. We see the one that was willing. We see the one that had compassion. You see, there had to be a payment for sin. And Jesus was that payment. He took our place. And He is the one that's the saving one. When we see Jesus, we're going to see the one that saved us. And then when we look at Jesus, we're going to see the sinless one. The sinless one. The one who knew no sin, but yet became sin for us, that we might have life. And then lastly this morning, we see the one that gave the sacrifice. We see the one that gave the ultimate sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, the Bible says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. When we look at Jesus, when we see Jesus, we see the one that gave himself. Just a glimpse of the one that gave himself for us. My dad used to paint. And he started painting when he had a back surgery. And he would paint a lot of sceneries. And he got pretty good towards the end. And we have a lot of his pictures. And my sisters have a lot of his pictures. And he actually sold a few. But there's one thing that he tried to paint, but he just never could. And I heard him say one time, he said, "I just can't." And he was trying to paint a portrait of Jesus. And I don't truly understand, because he was a very good artist. But yet, in a lot of ways, I do understand. Because I don't think you can put on a canvas the love that Jesus has shown us. I don't believe that you could paint the perfect picture. I don't believe that you could take the perfect picture if you had the opportunity. I don't think you could draw the perfect picture. But I believe that what we could do is have him in our heart. Have him in our heart. Because that's what changes lives, is have him in our heart. But we must see him. The Bible's clear. That helps us see just who Jesus is. So I asked the question this morning, are you grateful for Jesus? Are you grateful for one day realizing that you needed Jesus in your life and you needed forgiveness? If you are, then you've seen Jesus. We're blessed this morning if you know Jesus. You're blessed beyond measure. And we should thank him every single day for how he's helped us and how he's changed our lives. So I hope this morning, for just a little while, that we've seen Jesus. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know how an invitation must go. And many times we don't. So all we ask this morning is, if you've spoken to hearts, that we'll just come and be obedient, that we'll get closer to you. If we have that desire, we do pray, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that they'll come to know Christ. But Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, I just hope that our desire is to be closer to you. So have your will and way, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.